Hello, everyone. Welcome to Politics Done Right, Left, and Center, the political show for people who do not want to be talked down to and remember a time when we could all laugh together. I'm your host, Darren Rosenblatt. I'm joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, the NRA's Dana Loesch has a beef with Thomas the Tank Engine. Is Donald Trump the first hurricane truther? The effect of the boycott on Nike on their stocks? And what should happen with the confirmation of Supreme Court Judge Kavanaugh? That is a very fluid story. It just gets juicier and juicier by the day. But I want to start with a new ad put out by Elizabeth Warren. So here we go.
Washington is corrupt. Across the board, our government systematically favors the rich over the poor, the donor class over the working class, the well-connected over the disconnected. And that's why I introduced the most ambitious anti-corruption legislation proposed in Congress since Watergate. The bill has six big ideas to take back our government from the wealthy and the powerful. One, we've got to padlock the revolving door between big business and government. Goldman Sachs has so many employees in the Trump administration, shoot, they can open a new branch office. Two, stop people from entering public office with financial conflicts that let them line their own pockets. No more stock trading by elected officials. And presidential candidates like Donald Trump himself shouldn't even be allowed to run without disclosing their tax returns. Three, end lobbying as we know it. End it by registering everybody and disclosing everything they hand over in shadowy backroom meetings. Oh, and former members of Congress should be banned from lobbying for a lifetime, period. Four, stop big corporations from overwhelming our government's ability to protect the public. Right now, they have too much say over environmental safety and energy regulations, so let's rein them in. Five, give individuals and small businesses a fair shake in our court system without having to defend themselves in front of federal judges who trade in stocks or a Supreme Court that doesn't follow basic ethics rules. And finally, hire a new sheriff, a new federal anti-corruption agency to watch over Washington like a hawk and fight back against corruption. Now, my bill has a lot of other ideas to promote clean government, from giant reforms to small tweaks and everything in between. They'll make everyone in public office, including me, more accountable. Washington insiders are going to hate some of these proposals. Some of my friends will hate them too. But outside Washington, I think most of them are going to seem like no-brainers. And I think a lot of people will be shocked to know they're not already the law. So let's make this happen. Join me in the fight for a clean government that works for everyone, not just those who can hire armies of lobbyists and lawyers. I believe we can do this. And when we do, we will restore the faith of the American people, not just in our government, but faith in democracy.
When I heard this ad, it sounded very populist to me.
Yes.
It reminded me of some of the talking points of our current president when he was running. I felt like a lot of the things Elizabeth Warren was hitting on, the president hit on and used to sometimes attack Hillary Clinton and to get everyday folks to vote for him.
Very interesting. I hadn't even thought about
that. For instance, she talks about corruption.
Yes.
Isn't that draining the swamp?
Yeah, it is.
I like Elizabeth Warren. You're not.
I really no.
You're not a fan.
No, she ran. She ran one of the most unaccountable offices in the country. What was it?
Well said. All right, we'll move on with the ad.
Dick.
Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Yeah, you got it.
Which reports highlights of the outrageous salaries that are being paid, right. She just ran it into the ground. I don't trust her as far as I could throw her.
All right. Well, we're not talking about her credibility here. We're talking about this advertising. Didn't Donald Trump run on how he's the one who will look out for the forgotten middle class and he can't be bought because he has enough money?
Yes.
She's kind of running like, I'll look out for you too. She's kind of doing the same. Not because she has money, but she's kind of doing that. Elizabeth Warren brought up Goldman Sachs.
Yes.
And that was the same thing that the president was killing Hillary for.
Yeah.
And I think with Goldman Sachs, the reason a lot of times these people get their jobs is because they know how the economy works. So a lot of times they're just the best ones for the job.
Right.
And now we're seeing, you know, both sides crap on Goldman Sachs, and it seems to be like a trigger for people who don't like whatever party's in power.
They just hear the name and they say, "Oh yeah, Golden those Parachutes, rich, yeah. those rich people." Those rich,
yeah, they screwed
us off.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's playing the same exact thing.
Do you think they're going to get any of that through?
Well, we'll get there. I just want to hit on the points. Probably not. I mean, I don't know how you could get a lot of this. Like she says, should people in government be allowed to trade stocks? How do you stop people from trading stocks doing with their money?
Really?
Having a pension, a 401k, that's all trading stocks. People look at their 401ks and their retirement plans. It doesn't make sense.
Well, look at it this way. Like I said about Trump. Trump was an idea guy. Puts an idea out and see if we can get some of the things done. I'll give her the credit on this. You put all the bullet points she had out. If you could get at least three things done off of that, I would take that as a win. I'm not against what she's proposing. I don't think that they could get much through.
I'm against it. I'm against stuff like you can't take away people's rights because they run for office.
But what I'm saying is that on certain bullet points that you can. Cutting down.
Well, I'm going through the trading stocks. I'm not for that. I understand where she's coming from.
Right.
And if you're a person who doesn't think things through, and most Americans are those people who don't think things through, so they go, yeah, that sounds good. I'm for that. As somebody who thinks things through, I go, oh, I see what she's doing there, but I don't want to take away people's rights just because they run for office.
No, there are also situations where people are, you know, in government and they have to deal with a situation that they may be somehow too personally involved with. They recuse themselves from votes in those circumstances.
Jeff Sessions gets crapped on because he did what he legally had to do.
Right.
He recused himself. I do agree with her that we should make it mandatory for politicians to reveal their tax returns. We need to know who's sending them money, what the interests are. That is something that we need to know. And that was something before he became president, Donald Trump was for.
Yes.
Because I believe he said Mitt Romney should reveal his tax returns when Mitt Romney was hemming and hawing and eventually did reveal his tax returns.
Right. Until he realized, oh, that applies to me. Oops.
Right. But that is something I believe that they should all have to do.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But here's the thing. In the face of Citizens United, money equals speech. So I don't know how you end something like lobbying. Because they're paying for access. I understand that we don't get the same access because they're dealing with lobbyists. But in the face of what the Supreme Court said, I don't see how you can end that.
How can you tell people what they can do after they are out of office?
Right. To go with Joe said, like Trump, ideas. These are ideas. And it's going to appeal to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But if you really think this out, is that really a country you want to live in?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they do need to do something with the lobby. You know, the
lobby. I agree. But all I'm saying is she's too radical. I didn't read the nuts and bolts that she has, but I'm just from what her talking points.
Right.
I need to see a lot more.
Yeah.
Because the talking points on somebody's going, I'll be going, whoa, that's too much. I understand what you're saying, and like Joe, I think there's an issue, but that's overreach. I don't want to live in that country.
Right. But if you got a framework to work off of, you work off of that framework. You compromise. You know. Yeah. Like I said, out of maybe the 10 issues on there, if you get 3 out of them. That's okay. Some things I disagree with, some things I do agree with.
Like Pip said, you can't stop people from what they do after their job. They're not indentured servants.
No. That's crazy.
You know, I think, and if you did that, I think it would negatively affect the caliber of people who run for Congress. Not that the caliber's so hot right now. And I don't know how you rein in corporate America from overwhelming government. I don't know how you do these things.
No, I don't either.
But I feel like she did something that Trump does, which I don't like. She attacked the courts. She impugned the courts.
Yeah.
And here's where I'm consistent and what makes me special. Special Rose. I call it like I see it. I happen to like Elizabeth Warren. I don't like that she's impugning the courts. And I didn't like when Donald Trump impugned the courts.
No.
You can't do that. Our country is built on these things. We have to believe that these foundations are true. Sure, are there bad actors? Yes. And we try to weed out the bad actors.
Right.
But we can't be so cynical that we assume every time before a judge, they only have their best interests. The country falls apart if we think that way. I do want a new anti-corruption agency. I would like to see what that looks like, but I like the idea of it.
I do, too. I like the idea of more transparency in government all the time.
Now, on that, it's going to be the government
overlooking the government.
Well, yeah. Again, you can't be cynical. Yeah. You have to believe. And, you know, listen, that type of stuff should be transparent.
Yeah.
And you know, when people have ethics jobs, again, this is where the tax returns come in. We need to see where the money's going. And that's what the ethics – that's why a lot of the Trump people have gotten in trouble, because there is oversight. Unfortunately, Congress, which is supposed to act on these things, doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. But the part of the government that deals with the ethics, they are showing this. And eventually what happens is the population gets so upset. Even Trump supporters get so upset with some of these people that they have to resign. The Scott Pruitts of the world, and he's not the only one.
Right.
So, yeah, I do want that. But I think the message is the same, and I think it's very interesting that they're both playing to the same thing. And then I'd have to ask myself, because I think Trump is corrupt. Mm. I think Trump is dirty. I do. And I have to ask myself, do I think Elizabeth Warren would become dirty? Now, I like her going in, and I think she's always been true. But who's to say that she wouldn't become dirty?
Well, that's what she's saying, that even she would have to be held to the standards.
Which is what Trump said. She said, I'm gonna make my friends unhappy with this. When Trump was talking about his tax plan,
yeah.
He goes, listen, this is going to hurt my friends. Now, of course, once the tax plan went well, he went to Mar-a-Lago, I just made you millions of dollars.
Yes.
But they're running on the same exact thing. So I think it's very interesting that these two people who are always at each other's throat are hitting the exact same chord, to the point where Joe actually was thinking about defending some things from a person he does not like very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Actually, no. So if you take the whole thing, how many bullet points are in there? 8 bullet points?
Five
bullet points. So if you work on that, because like I said, there are some things in there that needs to be done, and you put the idea out there, and if you can get at least 2, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, if you take it on face value, I mean, we're all saying, yeah, but can you do that? Or, yeah, but is she the one? But, I mean, if you took it on face value, there's a lot of good ideas here.
When it comes from her, the left will take it on face value.
I know.
Just like when it came from Donald Trump, the right took it on face value.
I know.
That's exactly what's going to happen. All right, we'll be back.
Boy, pen.
Here's a song about a date gone real wrong. You'll understand as the onion peels. Here we go.
All right, we are back. You are listening to Politics Done Right, Left, and Center. So, all right, there's a new ad from the United Nations teaming up with Thomas the Tank Engine. They're going to work on a couple of things together.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas appeals to kids.
Right.
And shut-ins. Adult shut-ins.
train spotters, you mean?
So, and of course, Thomas the Tank Engine is made by Mattel. So Mattel is using their toy to pass on these things. We'll see if there's anything objectionable from it.
Okay.
Let's do it up.
All aboard for global goals. This year, Thomas has been on his biggest ever adventure and discovered what an amazing place the world is.
Wow!
Now, Thomas and his friends have teamed up with the United Nations to learn about the Sustainable Development Goals and help improve the world by looking after wildlife and nature, making cities great places to live, reducing waste, and increasing recycling.
Repair, recycle, reuse.
Keeping water clean and accessible. Making sure everyone gets a quality education. And that boys and girls have the same opportunities.
Thank you, Carly.
No problem, Cranky.
I find nothing objectionable about that.
What is this clean water crap?
Joe?
There's nothing objectionable.
You're fine with this?
I actually like the show, too.
Shut-ins, I told you.
But there's nothing wrong with this.
No.
Okay. And that's coming from the right. Okay. Yeah. So we all agree.
Yeah.
This seems perfectly harmless. It seems like a nice thing to teach children.
Yes.
Well, we're wrong.
Oh, what?
We are all absolutely wrong.
First time?
According to Dana Loesch of the NRA. We are anyway. So she used a jarring image to blast increased diversity on a children's TV show. The NRA online show depicted characters from Thomas and Friends in white Ku Klux Klan style hoods and burning train tracks. host of the NRA's TV Relentless, Dana Loesch, went after the classic children's character Thomas the Tank Engine after its maker Mattel joined forces with the United Nations in an effort to increase gender diversity and representation on the program and include new characters from around the globe and sell more trains. Loesch, a conservative spokeswoman for the gun rights group, specifically called out one new character, Naya, a steam engine from Kenya.
And what did she ever do
to
her?
Anaya is favored to win the New York City Marathon.
Yes.
the Kenyan train engines usually do very well.
It's all about the rails.
It really is. That's where it gets really strange to me, Loesch says on Friday's episode. Am I to understand this entire time that Thomas and his trains were white because they all have gray faces? How do you bring ethnic diversity? I mean, they had to paint what I guess they thought was some sort of African pattern on the side of Naya's engine. The program cut to an image with three trains wearing white hoods and tracks on fire.
Wow.
Fair. I get it, Loesch sarcastically says. Thomas the Tank Engine has been a blight on race relations for too long. Clearly this is overdue.
He's been a blight on race.
She's being sarcastic.
Oh, okay.
She's being sarcastic.
Yeah, no, that was...
The NRA did not immediately respond to USA Today's request for comment.
Because it's crazy.
But Tell announced Friday that Thomas and Friends, a Nick Jr. show, would add characters to its newest season from around the globe and partner with the UN to promote sustainable development goals. In the new season, Thomas will travel from his fictional home of Sodor for the first time in the series to visit China, India, and Australia, Mattel said. More female characters will also be represented, the company added. This change will deepen the brand's engagement with girls who represent over 40% of the show's viewership. My daughter used to love it. And provide a strong message of gender equality of the young audience.
So there's no girl trains on there?
There are. There's just not a lot, I guess.
Gotcha.
But here's what I don't understand. Why does she imply gray engines are white? I mean, they're on an island of Sodor. I just assume this was a race of gray-faced talking trains.
That's what I thought.
No,
we were wrong. I'm going to watch the show. It's
no,
like,
no, she wasn't implying that they're white trains. She's saying, oh, if you're going to go multi-culti here, I guess you're assuming that the original trains were all white and you had to add African ones and Chinese
on
ones and everything.
They're all going to look the same.
They're metal. They're just metal.
All right. I'm going to need a little bit of room here.
Uh-oh.
About to sink my fangs into this broad.
Uh-oh. Going
Isn't
off
Mattel
on that.
Mattel and United Nations doing exactly what the NRA is doing with Dana Loesch? In Mattel's case, they're targeting their desired audience, children, by using something that appeals to them, talking trains, and to Joe also, and to deliver a message. In the NRA's case, they're targeting their desired audience, men, by using something that appeals to them, an attractive woman, to deliver a message. Thomas is used to sell trains. Dana's used to sell guns. So really, isn't Dana little more than a talking train, an image with no real heart or soul? See, here's the problem with Dana. This is why I get it. She's out of her lane.
Why is she in this lane anyway? The NRA,
get hit by a train.
The NRA is there for our gun rights. They're
yes.
not there to worry about if there's a black train coming around the bend.
Well,
I mean, it's ridiculous.
I have an answer for you. Oh, boy. I don't think Dana's going to like it, but I have an answer. Because these are the type of things I think about.
Look, he's like cracking his knuckles, getting ready.
She's irritated all the anti-gun people she's going to irritate.
Right.
They know her shtick. Like a child with a toy, they've grown bored of her. They've moved on. The left-wing outrage machine is moving on. They're past Dana Loesch.
Yes.
She's going to wind up in the spokesperson junk pile, like Clara Peller from the Wendy's Where's the Beef commercials and McGruff the crime dog. They had their moment. Society moved on. It was fun, Dana, but here's the thing. You aren't going to have your looks forever. Your boobs will sag. You'll get crow's feet. Your ass will spread like a transit train, to quote Joe.
Transit bus.
I know, but I had to make a train related. Right. Don't ruin it. Then you'll be just another woman with an opinion. If there's anything the right has told us during the 2016 presidential campaign, if you're an unattractive woman with an opinion, you're shrill. And the right does not take kindly to shrill. You know the jig is up. You tried one last chance.
Hey.
It's gray face, Joe.
Gray face. No more gray face.
You tried one last time to gin up the outrage machine. You're going to get the left mad. Maybe they'll boycott talking trains. Here's the thing, Dana. You're predictable. They see you coming a mile away. And really, clan mask on Thomas, is that the best you got?
I don't think they see you come a mile away. I never thought she'd be pissed off about a train.
No, but the left, but she doesn't try to piss you off.
No,
but that's what I'm saying. She's trying to change it up.
Right.
Because when she starts talking, the left shuts her off. Oh, it's going to be about guns. Change the channel. Here's it's 2018. Let's up the outrage. Let's create a buzz. We're going to show you how it's done. Politics Done Left, Right, and Center presents Tommy the Tank Engine Meets the Nazi Train.
Oh, boy.
I guarantee you we're going to piss everybody off with this. We're going to crank up the outrage, Dana. Take some notes.
And then I'll find the thing.
Today, Thomas the Tank Engine's adventures take us to Poland. It was amazing what he found. Why is he in Poland? Well, he wanted to see if Polish people were as stupid as they were portrayed in jokes. Well, Tommy was just trudging along there one day when he heard a yell from a cave. Hello! Hello! Tommy was curious. This isn't even a cave. It's a tunnel. Hello! Can anybody hear me? Tommy thought to himself, boy, this voice sounds familiar. Hello! Is that you, Tommy? Tommy turned and yelled, yes, it is! Hans, is that you? Yes, it is me! I'm stuck in a tunnel with millions of bars of gold and very chewy stuff! Tommy was intrigued. Chewy stuff? I love chewy stuff. Is it chocolate and caramel? No, I said chewy, like Jews. Tommy was confused. He didn't know Hans to be a Nazi, so he decided to investigate. He hooked up his bumper and pulled out Hans, and he saw a bunch of swastikas on the side of the train. Hans, how come you have swastikas on the side of your train? Oh, is that what they are? I thought they were just a neat design. Well, they're neat, but they're really not, I don't know, kosher? Well, wait till you see what's inside. It is very kosher. Tommy started to worry. Hey, Hans, what is in that train? Well, I got bars of gold. I got designer lamps. Designer lamps? Well, I guess I could always bring home a nice little souvenir from Poland. I also have some tables. I don't know what the legs are made of. They look like real legs. Hey, that's not funny. It wasn't meant to be funny. It was intentional. Tommy heard a little chuckle in Hans' voice. Hey, how did you wind up in this tunnel? Well, I made my first Reich, and then I made my second Reich, and the third Reich is where I went wrong. I'll say the third Reich was really wrong. No self-respecting guinea would ever wind up in a tunnel. But you're not Italian. I know. Hey, Hans, are you part Polish? Well, I hate to admit it, but yes. Well, that explains it. Well, maybe Polish people are as stupid as they're portrayed. Hey, listen, Hans, give me a designer lamp, a table with those beautiful legs, and I'll take, what's that? Oh, those are the armchairs. I should have guessed. Well, how much do you want for these fine Jewy items that you gave me? What do you mean, Holocaust? No, I said, how much does it cost? Holocaust? You can stop that any time now, Hans. It's not funny. But it was nice seeing you again, I think. Tommy left his friend Hans with a heavy heart. Not only did he find out he's a dumb Polak, just like the rest of them, but he's a Nazi. I guess that was something he did not see coming. Pun intended. Tune in next time to Thomas the Tank Engine when he goes to England in search of the mysterious English dentist.
And that is how you create outrage, Dana.
Oh, man.
Up your game. We'll be back. Ah, the same old song and dance. You know, sometimes things don't change. Sometimes certain people are predictable in their responses of certain things.
What could you be talking about?
Our president rejected the official death toll from hurricanes that struck Puerto Rico last fall and without evidence blamed the Democrats for grossly inflating the tally. 3,000 people did not die in two hurricanes that hit Puerto Rico. When I left the island after that storm had hit, they had anywhere from 6 to 18 deaths. As the time went by, it did not go up by much. Then a long time later, they started to report largely large numbers like 3,000. This was done by the Democrats in order to make me look as bad as possible when I was successfully raising billions of dollars to help rebuild Puerto Rico. If a person died for any reason, like old age, just add them onto the list. Bad politics. I love Puerto Rico. Wepa! Yeah, Trump's two-tweet volley came 2 days after the president drew heavy criticism for claiming that his administration's response to the 2017 hurricanes was incredible, unsung success. In August, the Puerto Rican government raised the official death count dramatically to 2,975 after maintaining for months that only 64 people had died as a result of Hurricanes Maria and Irma. The government cited an independent study it commissioned from George Washington University's Milken School of Public Health, which analyzed the death rate in the 5 months after Hurricane Maria hit the island. San Juan Mayor Carmen Yulin Cruz, who had been an outspoken critic of Trump's response to the storms, blasted the president's latest claim. Simply put, delusional, paranoid, and unhinged from any sense of reality. Trump is so vain, he thinks this is about him. He finally thinks the storm is about him. He's so vain. He finally thinks these deaths. Joe, sing it. So anyway, Cruz Street. No, it's not. Nearly a year after the hurricanes decimated the island's weak infrastructure and electrical grid, hundreds of Puerto Rican families were still reported living without power. House Speaker Paul Ryan said there's no reason to dispute the official death toll when asked about Trump's tweet by reporters. This was a devastating storm that hit an isolated island that's really no one's fault. New Jersey Democrat Senator Bob Menendez blasted Trump on Twitter, saying his botched response to the hurricanes was to blame for the thousands of deaths in Puerto Rico. Trump had visited Puerto Rico shortly after Maria's devastation in October. He had been told on that trip by a Puerto Rican official that 16 deaths had been confirmed from the hurricane. The death count was later raised to 64, which drew intense scrutiny from critics because Azir underestimated the toll of the total number. FEMA admitted that they were not prepared for Hurricane Maria.
Right.
They had learned for it. I don't know. I think he's saying that he doesn't believe 3,000 people died. Is that what he's saying?
I think basically he's stating the way, like, the way the Democrats, he's blaming the Democrats, which is ridiculous. Basically, the way they arrived at the facts, what they did was, they wasn't based on actual death records. What they did was, they surveyed 3,300 randomly selected households across Puerto Rico, asked them how many family members had died as a result of the storm. Then they used one number, 38 deaths in those 3,300 households. And then they extrapolated a possible range of additional deaths due to Maria, compared it with the mortality rate from the year before, and then they came up with that figure.
So you signed.
It varied, but it varied. So between 793 and 8,498. So they kind of trimmed it down in a midpoint and an average. So what Trump is probably saying is, they're saying that this many more died, but it's not exact where they could, you know.
The point is, a lot of people died. The point. So when a lot of people die, you don't call that an unsung success. That's the problem. You know, we don't have to get into whether it was Trump's fault or not Trump's fault. You just don't say it was a success.
Well, like I said, basically he has problem with solemn stuff. But the fact remains is that, well,
can't get more solemn than death, Joe.
Exactly. Mm. But the fact remains is that you had two other devastating hurricanes on the mainland. You had infrastructure.
Also, remember, Puerto Rico was helping the other U.S. territories that were hit by islands before Maria, mm-hmm. and during Maria. Puerto Rico was the center that was helping all these other islands, U.S. territories, and everything. So they were already running low on supplies. Then Maria comes, and I'm not going to get into whether. Here's the thing. You go to Katrina. W pronounced success.
Ugh.
Then it was like, uh-oh, not a success.
Right.
So you know what he does? He puts a general honoré in charge, tries to get it together.
Right.
And it did improve things. You own the failure. You go, listen, we got to do better. I wish this didn't happen. We're going to do better next time. You want? Trump gives himself an A+ for everything. He said, you know, and that's why I can't take him seriously. I'm going to go to a story about Joe. Why I would say Joe is a better leader and a more evolved human being.
There you go, Joe.
Then, no, I'm completely
isolate
serious.
That.
No, then our president. Because, like I said, Trump gives himself an A+ for everything. Joe doesn't look at his performances like that. I've been with Joe. Because if you give yourself an A+ for everything, there's really no place to improve.
And it is delusional for anyone to say that about themselves.
You can't evolve.
No.
If you're getting an A+ for everything. So I'll give you a name. We've talked about it before on the show. So Joe is based in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Joe knows how to handle adversity. So Joe and I did a comedy tour in the Southeast. It's a region I've played a lot, and I'd played the club before. Joe has not played that region as much as I have, and he never played the club. So Joe's not happy with how he did on a couple of the shows.
Okay.
Joe expects better from himself.
Yes.
He wants to do better for the club and the audience. But see, if that was Joe Trump, he would give himself an A+ and would deliver the same lackluster effort and not improve.
Right.
Joe Curry does not think like that. Joe Curry's distraught. So he seeks me out to discuss it. Joe knows I have his best interest at heart, that I want him to succeed. He also knows I will be honest with him. We go over Joe's performance. I tell him where he could improve. I tell him where he was doing well. And I tell him where things, you know, might have gone sideways, but there was nothing you could do about it. Had nothing to do with you. It's not your fault.
Right.
So what Joe does is, we discuss it, and Joe takes the approach of, okay, where can I improve? How can I do better? Because he wants to do better. He wants to increase his odds of having better shows.
Yeah.
Because he's living in reality. So Joe took it all in. He took in what we discussed, you know, what we said about the stuff that was working, how to edit some things, what he was doing perfectly fine, and where he was beating himself too much on, and he processed it. So what does Joe does? Joe comes back for the rest of the weekend, and he takes it all in, and he has better sets.
Yeah.
He has sets that he's proud about, sets that are noticeably better. That's what Joe Curry did. Joe Curry evolved and improved to a place where he could genuinely say, I did good there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Joe Trump doesn't do that. There's no room for Joe Trump to improve. That's why I feel he's not a good leader.
Right. If you think that you're perfect already, why fix anything?
Well, but like I said, I think, you know, you're comparing a comedy show to like a relief effort.
I'm comparing a personality.
But
I'm comparing a personality trait. Obviously, a comedy show is much more
important.
But
Trump was never liked. He's never going to be like that.
I understand.
And we knew that going in.
I don't know how people – no, I think a lot of people thought he was going to grow into the job. Even the people that did not vote for him hoped he would grow into the job and evolve. Now, 70-year-old men don't really grow into things, except maybe a bigger size of pants. But that's my – he's not evolving. He's not going to evolve. He's not qualified to lead. We'll be back.
Sorry.
The big Nike boycott. 10 days after Nike announced that Colin Kaepernick would be the face of its Just Do It 30th anniversary campaign, the sports apparel behemoth stock's price closed at an all-time high of $83.47, according to Bloomberg. Nike had previously faced a noticeable dip in its stock price in the immediate aftermath of the Kaepernick announcement, dropping nearly 3% in the next day of trading. I wanted to buy on the dip. I didn't get to it in time. Mm. That fall has since been made up and more, with the current price slightly besting the company's previous high of $83. So LeBron James, who is signed to a lifetime contract with Nike, that's a great way to die. Just so you can get
wow.
money. He greeted it with this. Well, I guess we're on fire, and a bunch of emojis laughing. Jokes on you. Hashtag jokes on you. Hashtag Nike lifer. Nike likely knew what it was getting into with its decision to feature what is probably the most politically divisive athlete in the world today. Boycotts were planned. People burned their Nike gear, even though Nike had already had their money. One Louisiana town even tried to ban the gear from being sold to public facilities before pulling back. You think? A little overreach. President Trump tweeted, had plenty to say about the topic. He said, absolutely killed with anger and boycotts when talking about Nike. What was the company thinking with their divisive decision?
Irony, wait a minute.
Irony, paging irony.
Pot, kettle.
Well, no, Mr. President, Nike was playing to their base. That's what Nike was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the answer seems to be that Nike was thinking the spike in sales and brand awareness would be worth the backlash.
Nice.
Public opinion of Nike heavily changed after the ad campaign, according to one poll of Americans, where there was a noticeable increase in people viewing the company negatively. The CEO of the polling firm concluded that the move seems to have worked thanks to an increase in appeal to young males that are more likely to buy Nike apparel. Wait, you mean old white guys aren't buying it, but young guys and gals are? Go on.
Wait.
Sneakers and workout gear? Get out of here, jerseys.
No.
No. Per Bloomberg, Nike sales measured by Edison have revealed some very strong tracking numbers. Edison scanned receipts from more than 200 online retailers, including Nike.com, and found that Tuesday after Labor Day, for example, the first full day after Kaepernick's ad went viral, Nike purchases were 22% higher than the same day last year. On Wednesday, they were 42% higher, and Thursday, they were 23% higher. They remained above the 2017 levels at the end of the week. Of course, Bloomberg also notes it was likely to take much longer than 10 days to fully assess the impact of Nike's decision to use Kaepernick.
Well, if you're going to, you know, if you're looking at Nike, where they look, you know, how they're looking at their base, they're probably, you know, they're figuring that we have a younger demographic. That younger demographic is probably going to be a progressive left that would support Colin Kaepernick, and he figured if we geared to that, we'd probably make some money.
I think where you lost me was the progressive, just younger. I think the younger kids are savvy enough to know that burning a pair of sneakers that you already bought is stupid. It's old people that do stupid stuff like that. I mean, it's ridiculous things. Like, oh, I'm going to burn my season tickets. Are you? The team already got your money.
But I'm not talking about the reaction. I'm talking about where they can go for that demo to make money.
That's what they're doing. It was a monetary decision.
And also out of the country. A lot of people don't like Trump out of the country. Don't, you know, and they think anything against Trump is good.
Yeah.
And they're going to use that to sell sneakers.
Yeah, I didn't look at this ad as against Trump. That's just Trump inserting himself into something else.
I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't say that it quantifies to being anti-Trump exactly. No.
But the one thing I do find is people are outraged or excited about Nike's stand with Colin Kaepernick, depending on the side. Nobody talks about the child slave labor that people make the shoes for slave wages and the children work. Nobody talks about that.
Yeah.
Now, did Nike change that? Because basically that was a problem in the 80s and 90s where they had the child labor. From what I was reading, I think they changed their labor practices on that.
They may have.
But that is a very good point where they,
well,
you know.
It's true it is.
Yeah, I know. Well, it was in the 80s and the 90s.
Right. So, and one more bit. All right, last segment of politics done right, left, and center. We got to get into this Kavanaugh thing because it's really blowing up around us. So Christine Blasey Ford is accusing Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of attempting to sexually assault her by locking her in a room and forcing herself on a party while they were both in high school. The allegation dates back to the early 1980s when Kavanaugh was a high school student at Georgetown Preparatory School in Maryland and the woman attended nearby high school. The letter alleged that during an encounter at a party, Kavanaugh held her down and then he attempted to force himself on her. She claimed in the letter, Kavanaugh and a classmate of his, who we know now is his last name is Judge, was in the room, ironically enough, both of whom had been drinking, turned up the music that was playing in the room to conceal the sounds of protest, and that Kavanaugh covered her mouth with his hand. She was able to free herself after the alleged incident took place. Kavanaugh said in a statement to New Yorker, which broke the details of the encounter, I categorically deny and unequivocally deny this allegation. I did not do this back in high school or any time. Blasey sent Representative Anna Eshoo and Senator Dianne Feinstein a letter in summer after Kavanaugh was nominated, sharing her concern. She wished at the time to remain anonymous. So what Kavanaugh did was she passed it on to the FBI. Feinstein did meet with Kavanaugh when all the senators meet with the judge, the nominees before, and did not bring it up to him. Feinstein did not bring this up during the hearings, did not tell Grassley, who's running this, who's the head of it, did not tell. Nobody knew about this. Now, Blasey wanted to remain anonymous. Then it started to leak out that something was going on, and Blasey said that, you know, this is me, this is what happened. She took a lie detector test, which she passed. She says her proof is that she told her husband and her therapist in 2012 in a counseling session that this happened. Kavanaugh, judge says that he doesn't recall that did not happen. He doesn't recall it. He also was, by his own admission, was a blackout drunk. So take that for what it's worth. Kavanaugh denies any of this happening. And then we have Donald Trump Jr. posting a meme on Instagram making fun of the woman who alleges that she was sexually assaulted, and he posted Donald Trump Jr. Judge Kavanaugh's sexual assault letter found by Dems reads like the caption at the top of an image which features a crayon letter and what looks like a child's handwriting. The letter scroll reads, "Will you be my girlfriend?" alongside boxes marked with yes and no. The Dems and their usual nonsense games really have him on the ropes now, the president's eldest son wrote in an apparent sarcasm in his caption. Feinstein had the letter in July and saved it for the eve of his vote. Honorable as always, I believe this is a copy for full transparency. Now, you got to remember Donald Trump Jr. has daughters.
Yeah.
You got to remember who his father was. It was locker room talk. So I'm assuming that he posted this in the locker room. where all sexual assault jokes are just huddle who's. There's a lot to unpack here.
Locker room tweets.
So where we leave this is Blasey's been invited and Kavanaugh's been invited to go before the Senate on Monday to testify under oath about what has happened. As of yet, Blasey has not accepted or denied. They want it to be an open hearing, but I'm hearing some of the Republican senators saying, you know, it could be behind closed doors. Now, we got to remember what these hearings is on the Republican side. It's a bunch of old white guys. Now, they did this in 1991 with Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas, and that did not age well.
So
you got to think, should he be held accountable for stuff he did? As a 17-year-old.
As a stupid 17-year-old drunk. The man has got an exemplary whatever.
what he said.
That's the word.
Exemplar. Oh, all right. Man. I can't say it either.
I'll watch you two wrestle with your tongues.
And you say it.
Why should I? You guys are doing peachy.
No.
Exemplary.
Thank you. Exemplary.
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 Exemplary. Exemplary record.
We were trying to say exemplary.
Nonetheless, now your point's going to seem cogent.
He's got a spotless record. He's decided on cases that have been, you know.
That's subjective.
But it's subjective.
There are no allegations other than this.
But it's nothing but the Democrats scraping the bottom of the barrel. I can't wait till this all comes out in the wash, and then he gets nominated.
Well, that's a very pre-Me Too old white guy.
Oh, no, it's absolute nonsense. This woman what has this woman been doing for 35 years? Suddenly, she's an opportunist.
What is she? No, she knows she's going to get slandered. Remember, she wanted to remain anonymous. She didn't want this coming out. And, you know, it's the same thing that you and others made before Trump. Now, you were happy to see Al Franken go. You know, Al Franken didn't have his due process.
It was 35 years ago, drunk at a party.
Well, he says he wasn't there. He says it didn't happen. So let him say that. So you're saying he was there, but he was drunk. He's saying I wasn't there. That's why it's so fascinating to see what happens under oath. He says he was never there. She never said what party it was, and he's already denying it. Something's not. Now, listen, he may not have done anything. And if that comes out, then, you know, he should go through the process. You know, and, you know, if he was going to pass, he should pass. But that you can't just dismiss victims because you don't like their timing. That's the way abuse works.
What I don't like is somebody that the Democrats that are so desperate to keep him from getting in that they scraped the bottom of the barrel with some woman that was drunk along with him.
He was drunk
35 years ago.
This is why the Republicans.
You'll find out on Monday, and you will see this woman get dragged through the mud, and she will get nominated.
Here's the difference between you and I. I will watch on Monday or whenever if it happens, and I will see and I will weigh it, in my own opinion, objectively. I will see how credible she is, how credible he is, and then I will make my evaluation. Because I don't know. I don't know if this is a political hit job.
Oh, of course it is. You can't see this.
But that's
a mile away. It's so obvious. What's the matter with you?
Right. And you thought all of Trump's accusers were political hit jobs, and you believe Trump didn't.
But this is so blatant.
You said the same thing about Trump stuff. You said that, you know, and people said it about Cosby stuff, and people said it about Sandusky, and people said it about Priest. That's what people do who don't want to believe that somebody they like is incapable
of. And that's what somebody does, like Dianne Feinstein, that drags this woman out of the woodwork because she doesn't like the political leanings of this guy. What's the matter with you?
But see, that's opinion. That's not based on fact. I come at it from fact. Now, you can argue that why didn't Dianne...
Exactly. She held it under a vest. Right, that's so politically motivated.
There's a difference between attacking Dianne Feinstein and how she handled it and attacking the victim. I'll go with you down the lane a little bit with how Dianne Feinstein and go, you know what, this could have been brought up earlier and this should have been brought to the attention. And now it was brought to the FBI. And now the president doesn't want to hand this over to the FBI, which is something else. But you can attack Dianne Feinstein without attacking this woman. When you do this, you sound like the people who attacked Anita Hill, who years later everybody goes, wow, she was really credible. You sound like the people who attacked all Bill Cosby's accusers. You sound like an old guy who's out of touch. And that's then you
oh, enough with the white guilt, please. Cut it out.
I said old guy.
You're old and you're white.
I'm not. Well, actually, I'm a lot younger than you, and I come from a different.
Yeah, but you're still old enough.
Right, but I'm not. But I'm open to fact. I don't have preconceived opinions. You did with Orrin Hatch. Did Orrin Hatch was just interviewed about this and goes, "I think she's confused," something to that effect. This is why the Republicans have politically they have such a problem with women, because even conservative women are like, "Wait, you don't believe us? How dare you not believe us?"
Because
even Kellyanne Conway and President Trump, by the way, said she should be heard. So you're out of touch with the president. You're the president and Kellyanne Conway.
No, she should be heard, and then they'll listen to her, and then he gets nominated because it's such a non-story.
So there's nothing that she can say that is believable to you.
Because Dianne Feinstein purposely dragged her out of the woodwork for this.
But that's not how it happened.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, it's multi-layered. First of all, I believe this woman that this happened. Do I think that a man's entire career has to be, down the...
Because of something that happened so many years ago.
And how come she hasn't reported this during the course of the 35 years?
And
this was such a traumatic
event. People always ask that.
She didn't report it now. It came out and we should be able to see. If they hold it objectively, we should be able to get the therapist notes from 2012.
But the
therapist should be called in to testify under oath. The guy judge who was in the room with Kavanaugh should be called in. That's what they really need more time to do an improper investigation. Let's find out if this is a political hit job.
Right.
Or if this is real. But I don't come at it with like, oh, this is one thing or the other. I don't know. But I do know that attitude is what's hurting the Republicans. Attitude that you come at it with.
And what Dianne Feinstein is hurting the Democrats. And if it's going to hurt, it might hurt them in the midterms.
No, I don't think that this is going to hurt them. Giving this woman her day to speak is not going to hurt them.
I think that it's interesting that anybody's coming at it with preconceived notions of what these people's intentions are before we've actually heard them.
Well, that's why, that's why people are partisan.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, that has been Politics Done Right, Left, and Center. Thank you guys for listening. Now we'll do plugs. I'll edit that out later. That was fun.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of editing stuff there to do.
Yeah, but you'll be busy.
Yeah, well, I don't have to be exactly on point.
No.
This is just a little demo thing that I wanted to come up with, but that was fun. Yeah, man, I can't believe you come out with preconceived notions.
Oh, God, it's such a...
Remember, everybody thought Julie Love was innocent and sweet until the facts proved otherwise. There's no way of knowing until you do a deep dive on this stuff.
Well, they're going to do it.
You should be happy.
He'll come out looking better.
The thing is that...
And also, 200 women have come out for him.
But that means not the same... The same thing to happen with Cosby. You had people coming on TV saying Cosby. That means nothing. It just takes one. And women do... Pip was getting to this. You think that when people are traumatized, they immediately report things. What happens is you get triggered. Like you block things out of your mind.
Bless.
You try to deal with it. People go years without ever thinking about a traumatic thing. Like people like kids won't even realize that they were sexually abused until they see something in a movie or a TV or a song or a smell.
And it brings it back.
And it brings it right back to them. That's the thing about it. So unless you've had that in your life, and I haven't, I'm just... from what the experts say and victims say. So that's why I'm not going to judge. Listen, it's better if he didn't do it. It's better, if he is credible and if he didn't do anything, then it's a damn shame this happened to him.
Women are often hold back on their telling the story of their experiences of being, harassed or being violated or being, assaulted.
I've been friends with a girl for 29 years.
Right.
Just the other day, she told me about sexual abuse and molestation that she was dealing with for years as a kid. And I've been a good friend with this person for 29 years. I'm like, I didn't know. She's like, I didn't tell you. I'm like, no. I said, but this explains so much of why you were in certain situations later in life, and I could never figure out why you would be with certain people. It explains so much.
There's things that I've never shared on this show, and nor am I going to. But there are things that I haven't brought up. Part of the reason, and I have my own reasons for holding back on these things, but some of the reasons why victims hold back is because of slut shaming is so prevalent.
Right.
Because it turns into, why did you go into the room with him? You wanted it. You went into the room with him. Maybe I thought he was a nice guy, and he was cute, thought we might make out. I didn't think I was going to get double teamed by these two drunken assholes.
Here's the beautiful thing. Whether the younger generation, whatever their politics
are,
right, left, or center, they are much more open-minded for the most part
to this type of stuff. Most.
Not everybody. You still got your wingnuts all over the place.
Sure.
But they're much more open-minded. And that's good. That's going to be good for – and as a judge, you need to be open-minded.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's very interesting that people don't want to hear the facts when judging a judge. That's fucking ironic as hell.
Very interesting. I mean, it goes back to what we were talking about with Dave, too, is that there's certain people that have to be held to a higher standard. And you have to get into these people's heads. How do you think about things before I'm going to let you have this power position?
Clarence Thomas still has an asterisk.
Oh, what an asshole.
Next to his name. And, you know, Joe Biden fucked that up.
Yeah.
Joe Biden held up three witnesses that would have, you know, could have corroborated Anita Hill's story. Apologize, but doesn't make it any better.
No.
Ruined her life. So people think, oh, she's coming out. These victims are coming out to ruin the politician's life. Their lives are getting ruined, too. Because you got partisan hacks and followers that just shoot these slings and arrows and just make these assumptions. I see these memes. She was a blackout drunk. No, it was the guy fucking Judge who wrote in a book that he was a blackout drunk. And Joe repeated it here. She never said she was a blackout drunk. It was the guy Judge.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, listen. It's better if this guy's going to be on the Supreme Court that he didn't do this. But, you know, and listen, he's eager to testify, which is a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing. I mean, it's people bring their own preconceived notions to what they think somebody's motivation is when they bring up, you know, an allegation against somebody that they like. And you don't want to think that of people. There's things that, you know, there's people I'm like, oh, God, not you too. Damn it. Why did you do that stupid thing? And I don't want to believe it. I don't want to believe the stuff about certain people.
Because people want heroes. And so I'm like,
they do. They do. But they also don't want you to say things about the guy, your next door neighbor. I like that guy. What do you mean that he did this and such? Oh, you know what? She must have some reason for tearing him down. There must be some agenda that, you know. And it's like, no, sometimes it's just actually.
And then after that, they're going to bring out the kindergarten teacher when he was 5 cents short on his milk money.
Well, you know, sexually molesting somebody is not shorting somebody on milk money.
Believe me, they're scraping the bottom of the barrel. This is such a non-story.
If this thing actually.
I guess. You hated your wife and you never had a daughter. But honestly, if you have women that you care about in your life, honestly.
I do, but
I don't think you do.
She got away. What was going to happen to her if she didn't get away?
You know, you said the same thing.
Cut it out.
You said the same thing about the Trump accusers, and a lot of them were Republicans.
Cut it out.
You don't see. This is what you're not making an intelligent argument. Your intelligent argument was about Feinstein and how she handled it, and I gave you room with that.
So after it's an opportunist move on this woman. I'm telling you right now. You'll see on Monday.
No, nobody wants to come out and tell the whole world, hey, you know, this disgusting thing happened to me.
There's something in it for them. They do.
What's she gonna get?
Well, a book deal. Book deal. Something like
that. She's a successful professor.
Yeah, but still, that would make clout if she wants to write a book about her experience and stuff like that. That's clout. Plus, she's also a left-leaning with connections. So
you said the same thing about the Trump supporters, and a lot of them were Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
It's always victim shaming. It's always the victim's fault. You don't hold the person being accused to the same standards. Whereas you should just go. You should just weigh everything
because you could smell this a mile away.
No, I can't.
Well,
and that's why you couldn't be a judge. You can't smell it a while. You have to let the facts play out.
All right, then they sure will. And then he'll get nominated.
And what will you say if she seems credible? Are you going to come back and apologize, or are you going to stick to your guns? If she seems credible and under oath says, this happened to me, this is the guy that did it, I passed the lie detector test, here's the notes from my therapist's office in 2012, are you going to come back and go, you know what, she seemed credible, there might be something there, are you going to own it?
Well, we'll see, we'll find out Tuesday, won't we?
No, I'm asking you a question.
No, we'll find out Tuesday, won't we? I'm not answering it right now. We'll find out Tuesday.
As a man, you should own it if she's credible. Just like I would say if I watch the thing, if it even happens on my
Well, you're a very noble gentleman.
I am.
Okay, good.
And I know if I was watching the thing, I go, That don't seem right. She seems fishy. I would say, yeah, I don't think it happened. It's a shame that they slandered Kavanaugh and put him through this. They shouldn't pass or fail him based on this. There's other reasons why you can make your decision. This I would say it if she wasn't credible.
Yeah, I mean, if it seems like this is just like something that was cooked up for political reasons,
yeah, absolutely.
I'd be very, very disappointed in the people that did this.
A little mile away.
And what are all these past cases that you come back to where women have claimed sexual abuse for political gain and monetary gain? I can think of one off my head.
Who was that?
Duke, the North Carolina lacrosse team.
They faked that. Yeah,
she faked it.
Yeah,
she said
did.
She said that she was gang raped. Because she was performing as a stripper at the thing,
yeah,
and she ruined it. They took away the program.
Yep.
She ruined a lot of these kids' lives.
Yeah,
so she was absolutely wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the one I can think of. There's been a lot of this. There's been a lot of these. I can't name anything else. So I'm asking you, because this is the position you're taking. Educate me. Where is the track record of these women coming forward to say they were abused for political and monetary gain that you can hang your hat on and that could make me change my mind?
That they were fakers.
Yeah.
We could see it. We'll see it on Tuesday.
That's not what I asked you.
But I understand that, but I'm not answering the question. I'm telling you in this instant right now, it smells like an opportunist move on this woman's part. We'll find out on Tuesday. You know, I'll answer the question on Tuesday.
So if she says under oath, he did this. I know he did this. He was at the party. He did it. And with also passing a lie detector test, you're gonna dismiss her as not credible.
Dismiss her as there was a situation. It was when he was 17.
That's a different argument. We didn't get there. That's a different argument. You can make the argument. We can have. That's a different conversation.
Let's separate it and compare. No, but it's all one thing.
No, it's not. That's how you look at a case. That is how.
It's like first figure out if it happened,
right,
and then determine how is that going to affect your decision now.
He was a 17-year-old kid drunk. This woman comes out of the woodwork years later at the last minute.
That has nothing to do with it. You're asking when she comes out has nothing to do with it. First, you evaluate did it happen. If it did happen, then the next step is if it didn't happen,
then you see the severity of it. And does the severity of it warrant him not getting nominated?
Well, no.
No,
if it did happen, you decide, well, does his actions have a 17-year-old affect whether he should get this job? Keep in mind, this is a lifetime appointment in the highest office of the land, and he's going to be handling...
And every other case he decided is going to based on what he did as a stupid 17-year-old kid?
No, they're not saying they're going to go back and like overturn his judgments.
No, they're not
overturn the judgments, but every case he ruled on is going to... What he did as a dumb 17-year-old kid is going to overrule that?
How many people did you sexually assault as a 17-year-old? How many people?
I tried to make out with people like that.
Did you force yourself on them?
Not really, no. But
yes or no. Did you force yourself on them?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay,
because we do that because we're horny guys.
No. We don't do that.
You did that, but you live in this weird reality.
No, I was raised properly where no means fucking no. That's why there's plenty of awful things about me, but sexual assault will never be one of them. I never force myself on, because I respect people. I don't force myself on people. So the question is, obviously if you force yourself on somebody, it's wrong. The question is, how long do you have to pay for that? Which is something that the Senate will decide.
Right.
And if we get to that, you know, maybe I'll weigh in. I don't know. I don't know if that should ban him if he has a whole track record of doing right.
Right. I mean, I would like to see a situation where if he did do that, if it seems credible that he did do that, that if he was to, like, apologize for having done that, just own it.
Well, we're not at an apology level.
No, but I'm just saying that, you know, say that happened, that they could say, okay, well, you know, that did happen, he apologized for it, and
how
it's like he's lived his whole
nine.
Life. I don't know.
I mean,
you know, we could say, I'm sorry, I was an ass, I denied it, but now I'm admitting it.
See, that probably would have been the best tact. Politically, if he goes, you know what, I forgot about this, but you know, now that she brings it up, you know, I was 17. It was stupid. I would never do that. I have daughters. I've coached girls. Obviously,
I've matured.
Wrong.
I've grown up. I'm sorry.
I feel so bad that I've caused this woman this trauma. If I had known about this, I would have apologized years ago. That if he did that, he'd probably get through. Because people like when people ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
If he played that card, and even like conservative women who are probably not turned liking what's going on right now.
Right.
But even conservative women could go, okay, you know what? He's owning it.
Yeah.
He's being a man about this. He was just a 17-year-old kid. There was alcohol. He was horny. There was hormones. We were all kids. I get it. He's a grown man now. Part of being an adult, like we talked about earlier, is owning your mistakes. Fine. He'd probably even get some of the Democratic senators, the ones that are in questionable states like West Virginia with Manchin. He'd probably get Murkowski and Collins. He'd probably get those people if he took that tact.
Yeah.
But he's dug himself in. So it's now either yes or no. He doesn't have the apology. He can't do the apology thing now.
Well, people who are thinking along the lines of, you know, I would be inclined towards, saying he should be in as the judge, you know, they have to look back at their constituents and say, what are you going to think of me if you don't like the answers this guy comes out with or how this thing goes, and I go the wrong way?
Well, that's what I mean about Senator Kennedy from Louisiana, Republican. Mm-hmm. When you listen to him, he's like, you know, I represent my constituents. He's like, he said, I don't have any preconceived, because he was on with Chuck Todd. He's like, what are you going to ask? He's like, I don't know. I don't have any preconceived notions. He's like, I want to hear what she has to say.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear what he has to say. And Chuck Todd's like, well, how are you going to decide? You know, he goes, I don't know. Because, but I'm human. I think I'll just have a feeling.
Yeah.
Like we always.
Yeah.
I respect that answer.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it's bullshit. It doesn't strike me as bullshit from him. But I like that answer. I think that's the right approach. Listen, I don't know. As opposed to Orrin Hatch's, I think she's confused. You haven't heard the facts.
It's like he already decided.
You can't do that. That's what scares me about people in power doing that type of
thing. Yeah.
And you could never be Judge Kavanaugh determining. Yeah, I mean, that's a big problem. And that's what a lot of the left are worried about, that he already has his mind made up before he hears cases. And, you know, they go and he says, no, I'm just an umpire called balls and strikes. That's what you got to be.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, well, this is the way it is because I want it to be this way.
No.
Listen, it's better for everybody. Well, not better for everybody. It's better for a lot of people if she's not credible.
I mean, if that's true, that'll work out in a lot of people's favor. But, you know, life is messy.
Yeah.
And sometimes things are going to come up that you don't want to come up.
I think it probably happened. Then the question is, how much do you have to pay for your sins as a 17-year-old? And that's
right.
And that's like where I said, where it's like the fact that he's so strident in it. That's what makes it tough. There's no wiggle room to just like own and go, fuck.
We'll see what happens on Monday.
Yeah.
It's going to happen Monday. I don't know if Kavanaugh is going to face pressure to drop out. I don't know if this woman's going to show up, which is a problem.
Yeah, because she didn't win all this.
Right.
They're
offering a closed testimony. So, you know, maybe she should do that.
You know, we can come back to it after it happens.
We'll see. All right. Tower of Energy is an energy solutions consulting company that specializes in residential and commercial lighting solutions, run by a 15-year lighting professional who can guide you through the world of architectural-grade, environmentally friendly lighting for your home or commercial property. Tower of Energy is on the cutting edge of today's lighting technology. You can find them on Facebook by searching Tower, T-A-O, of Energy, LLC.
Portobello is Bergen County, New Jersey's most exclusive fine dining Italian restaurant. The Tuscan Villa setting will make you feel like you've been transported to the old country. And every dish is prepared with care and attention to detail, and the Portobello chefs are happy to cater to any dietary need, thus ensuring every visit is not just a meal, but an experience. Portobello is open for lunch and dinner Monday through Saturday, and on Sunday, Portobello features a sumptuous brunch, in addition to their dinner menu, which is available all day. Friday and Saturday nights, Portobello features live entertainment starting at 9 p.m. Portobello Banquets is your destination for that special event, such as a Sweet 16, wedding, office party, or anything that has to impress. Their professional staff will ensure that your event is not just an occasion, but a memory. Portobello will also host the popular comedy nights throughout the year, which is produced by Sidesplitting Production owner Davin of Davin's Den. Davin, what's that next show?
Write it down, October 19th.
October 19th, and who's going to be in it?
Pat O'Donnell's headline.
Pat O'Donnell. So experience all that Portobello has to offer. 175 Ramapo Valley Road in Oakland, New Jersey. You'll learn more. Call them 201-337-8990. That's 201-337-8990. Or visit their website, PortobelloNJ.com. You deserve the best. You deserve Portobello.
You should listen to HudsonRiverRadio.com every weekday from Monday through Friday from 9 to 3. The Richter Observatory, music, news, and current events.
Ooh, he has a name now for the show.
Yes, he does. And so,
he had to come on and announce it himself. Are you doing this?
Yeah, I know. Well, he asked me. And so,
he asked you what?
He said, Can I say the name of the show? And I'm like, yes.
Just don't reveal my name.
Yeah, don't talk about me. But the Richter Observatory on HudsonRiverRadio.com. Listen in.
Joe, you got anything?
Yeah, I'm going to be on the Anthony Cumia show tomorrow from four to six on Anthony Cumia. I'm sorry, Ty, long day. CompoundMedia.com. So check that on out.
I'm going to try that one more time.
Yeah. Anthony Cumia show tomorrow from 4 to 6, CompoundMedia.com.
Very nice. All right. Well, it was a long show. It was an eventful show. Covered a lot of ground. Got some good arguing in.
Yes, we did.
Had some laughs and found out Joe's a patriot for saving the country from taking it in the rear.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for your service.
You're welcome. He'll save even the lefties. He's a hero. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.